gone.
Flyer.
He's gone.
And Sixers.
He dunked it. Oh, yeah.
Happens.
Live from the Tasty Cake Studios.
Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Welcome back, everybody. I know it's cold. We saw a little snow last night. You want to feel a little warmer now? How about we hear a voice from the summer? A voice that we all admire, Al. He's one of the most popular announcers this city has ever had. He is the color voice of the Philadelphia Phillies, and you will hear him in FM this year. The great Larry Anderson's on the line. Hey, L.A.!
What's going on, fellas?
L.A.,
what's happening?
You got to be thrilled, L.A., that your voice will be heard all season this year on FM, where we'll hear every inflection. It'll be even more amazing.
I don't know if maybe there should be a little more protection for the listening audience. But I'm excited about it. I really am.
Well, we can't wait. I was just getting word that you're pretty much ready for another season now, right, L.A.?
I'm ready to go. Actually, we're leaving Sunday to head down to Florida because that snow, we saw it last night, even though it was a little bit, it's time to go.
Sounds great. Hey, L.A., I have this theory about your popularity, which is through the roof in this city. People love you. And I believe the reason is that when we're listening to a game, that you speak what the fan is thinking. And I especially love it when you get on the case of an umpire. Now, I want to start with this because we had an incident last night with the Sixers. So here's what I want to know. When you see the umpiring crew, a new series starts, do you right away cringe if it's one of the guys you don't like?
Yes.
All right. So
yes, I'm sorry.
No. Was it like this when you were a pitcher? Same thing.
No, it wasn't. And it was, I mean, if there were certain umpires, you knew if they had a little smaller zone or if they were had a higher strike zone, I preferred a lower one, but you knew, and the consistency of those umpires, it was like you knew what you were going to get. And the one thing that I appreciate is you can always talk to them. And I don't, today, I just don't, umpires are the arrogance, the fact there's no accountability. Nothing happens if they're terrible. I can name a few that still have jobs that it just baffles me. And I was actually at a benefit Monday night in Houston, and I was talking with Joe West, who's a good friend of mine. But I said, you know, you guys, you don't have to do anything. You're not accountable for anything. And, you know, and he just gets mad, you know, and comes back at me and gives me some smart remark. But it's just the arrogance of him is what bothers me as much as anything. But, yeah, and these umpires today, the consistency of their strike zone is, oh, boy, it can be a little – rugged, but my goal this year is I'm staying off the umpires.
Don't do that, L.A., please. You're in stereo now.
It's
we
our
hear
favorite
you
thing.
Cause, all right, here's what I need you to do. Can you help me with this?
Okay, you convinced me.
I love it. I want you to do this for me, L.A., because I think you're the best at this that I've ever heard. Tom McGinnis got upset last night with this Violet Palmer, this female official, who was really squeezing him. So I want you to hear his tirade and evaluate it for me, okay? This is Tom McGinnis last night during the Sixers game.
Parker with the ball. Evan bodies up on him and a foul on Violet Palmer. Oh, she hearing it from the crowd. That's not a foul. That is ridiculous. That is terrible. A terrible call. Oh, man.
L.A., can you help me with that?
I love it. I think he could have given us a little more, though.
Yeah? All right, well.
He stayed on her a little more.
I'd say, here's what I want to know. Do you ever get negative feedback by the league or the team when you go after an umpire?
I haven't. You know, I have. It has been, you know, passed on to me that, hey, maybe you could lighten up on the umpires. And I seriously, the last 2 years, I have set out absolutely saying I'm going to stay off the umpires. But usually by the middle of the first inning, it's over.
Yeah.
I can't help it. And and I know they're going to make mistakes, and I'm fine with that. It's the arrogance of them after they make a mistake. They just, you know, Joe West has a great line when, you know, manager came out and said, Joe, you missed it. You missed that call. He says, I didn't miss that call. I've never missed a call in my life. He goes, I haven't gotten them all right, but I've never missed one. And, okay, well, we'll say that. You know, hey, be able to have some conversation with the manager or player if they got a gripe and let them have their say and say, okay, that's it, be done. Instead of, you know, right now, it's the umpires are as much confrontational as anything.
Absolutely right. Hey,
it gripes me.
All right, L.A., I got to get on to the way the season ended last year, because that was probably the best Phillies team we have ever seen, 102 victories. And it ended so abruptly, and then the Cardinals went on to win it all. Have you gotten the bad taste out of your mouth for how that ended last year?
Yeah, it did. Took a long time. It really did. But it's, you know, to me, a new year, turn a page and look forward to this year. And I think I honestly do. And some of the players might think I'm crazy or the organization might. But I do think, and I think if anybody in the organization is honest, the baseball people, they might agree to some extent that I think there was some contentment. You know, I think there was, where you not, and maybe contentment's not the right word, but maybe there was a point where they felt, because all the hype was so much and the expectations were so high at the end of the season, when after we clinched, it was like the switch got turned off. So, okay, let's kick back for a while. You go to turn the switch back on, and there's a little short somewhere. And, you know, that 8-game losing streak, then they win the last three against Atlanta, but they weren't hitting on all cylinders then, and there didn't seem to be a sense of urgency, and that's just a perception. I'm not saying the players didn't care or didn't want to win, but that the perception was such that it didn't look like there was that, you know, go the extra mile.
Well, I totally see what you're saying. I'm really disappointed in what happened with the offense, especially down the stretch and in that 5-game series against the Cards. And Ricky Bowe says to us, and I know you know Ricky well, he said it's all going to come down to Utley this year, if he could stay healthy and be the Utley he was a couple of years ago. Can he, L.A., can he go back to where he was at his peak?
I think he can.
Yeah.
And you know, if somebody else, I might not say that, but with Utley, I do say that, because I know he's working really hard on his legs, on his core, to really take some of the or give him some of the strength in his swing, I think, in his power. There were some times last year where he hit some balls right on the nose, and, it, you know, they go to the track or they go to the wall, but they're, you know, in a year's past, they would be 20 feet into the stand. And I think he was trying to hit a lot without his legs, and that took away some of his power, and I think that was a big thing. I think him coming in healthy, not having to try and rush back, he's had all offseason to get ready. I think we're going to see an Utley more like his past than what he was just last year.
All right, L.A., one of the things that has happened this year is they have really kind of abandoned the whole concept of a youth movement. They've got a real veteran team now. I mean, yeah. Jimmy's 33, Utley's 33, Howard's 32. You know, they got the outfield. They got some age there as well. Is this the year? Do they have to look at it and go, you know, the window's closing. We gotta make sure we give it the best this shot, that this may be our best last shot here?
Well, I think anytime you go into spring training, and especially if you have a rotation like this and closer and Papelbon that we have, you have to go in there and say, we have a shot. Not that we have to do it now, but
right.
But with what we have, we've got to go out, but they're not going to hand it to us. And the division is much tougher, no question about it. And to me, outside of the Mets, anybody can win this division. And I mean that sincerely. I don't think the Mets can, but I think every other team in a division can win our division. And I still say we're the team to beat. I think we're the best team, and we can, you know, the Nationals can have their park. I'm fine with Citizens Bank Park. But they're going to be a tough team. Florida's going to be tougher. Atlanta's always good with their rotation and their bullpen. So I think it's going to be a battle. But I'm excited about that. I think... You know, even with the age, I think what Ruben did in the organization, they went out and they strengthened that bench. And when you have an older team, you have to have a stronger bench, because guys need more rest. Guys are going to be hurt more. And I think they did a great job in really solidifying the bench and giving them a bench, Charlie a bench, that he hasn't really had in a while.
And how do you feel about the back end of the bullpen with Papelbon now? You like him?
I like it. And you got Qualls there who will take the ball any time, any day. And, you know, people will say he's old, but I was old too. And I had, you know, a few good years at the end of my career. It doesn't mean, and I retired at 42, it doesn't mean Qualls can't have a good year, a couple good years, whatever. I think that's a big help to the bullpen. Somebody has a track record down there. And Papelbon at the end is terrific. Plesac, I did an event last week with him, and he was talking about Papelbon, who he watched a lot through the summer. He said, this guy was 95, 97, consistently. Yeah. I like it. I really like the team, and I'm excited to get down and be a fan again.
I'm with you. Hey, L.A., are you in the Wall of Fame? Are you up there?
No.
What the hell's wrong with that? Because I know they're voting again, and I would like your name considered. You would win because you're the popularity as an announcer, too. Is Schilling next in line, or was he too much of a loudmouth to get up on the Wall of Fame?
Well, I don't think whether a loudmouth or not, I think you have to look at what a guy did, and you can't take away anything right. that Schilling did in his career. He was tremendous, and I think he's on the ballot. He is on the ballot.
He is.
I don't know. I look at it like he's probably a guy that needs to go on that Wall of Fame.
Do you get to vote?
I think I'm eligible to vote, yeah.
All right, well, you know what? If he gets your endorsement, he's going on to L.A. Because we are thrilled. I can't tell you. And, L.A., seriously, though, make sure the voice is real strong to shit because it's coming through FM now, and people are going to hear if it's not perfect, you know? So work on that because we're thrilled that you're back. We can't wait for baseball. L.A. is back in the house, L.A. Another great season coming up.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, my friend. Good. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
The great Larry Anderson. If you're not loving L.A., Al, there's something wrong with you.
I love him. I'm going to back off. And then he's like, no, I'm not.
You know, it's great. Al. He heard McGinnis rip the girl.
They want him to go more.
And he said, not enough.
Yeah.
Now, I hope Tom McGinnis heard that. Because if L.A. tells you, bring it a little harder, you got to bring it harder. It's L.A. And now the first time Angel Hernandez is in a crew working the plate, I guarantee you L.A.'s going, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Second inning.
Where the hell was that ball? 8-8.